Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. She's called the Why Wait, Trust Yourself, and Ask What You Need woman. Rena Weiner is a healthcare and patient advocacy coach, a former national oncology trainer and nursing instructor, multi-book author, and presently a cancer patient in remission. Her new book is An Invaluable Guide and Healthcare Companion. Trust Your Doctor, But Not That Much. Be Your Own Best Healthcare Advocate is a roadmap so you, the patient, can get better healthcare, as well as encouragement and support for what often can be a confusing, frustrating, and difficult path. Rena Weiner, author of Trust Your Doctor, But Not That Much, is our guest on This Week in America. Rena, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you for inviting me, Rick. Appreciate it.
So much to talk about. And let's start with the basics, finding the right healthcare provider. And I say that because most people have a doctor, but you move and suddenly you're back in the market looking for somebody, or your doctor is retired, or maybe your doctor is no longer part of your insurance network. What's the best way, when we're starting all over, to find the best doctor for us?
Well, Rick, there are several ways. At first, you can ask your friends and your neighbors. That's a way that most people will access. But also, nurses are a wonderful, wonderful resource. So if you know any, or you can call your local hospital, depends on the region. Some places will allow that, others will not. Pharmacists, especially pharmacists, they're great because they work with doctors and they know how well organized an office is. You can also go online and look at the medical society in your county. Sometimes it's in the state or in the region, but you can definitely access that information. And in addition, if you have a particular health problem, diabetes, cancer, heart disease, arthritis, then there are a number of foundations and charitable organizations that will provide referrals for you and to you. Even where I live in North Carolina, the local hospital has a scheduling office. Now, I don't know about what it's like across the country, but here, if you call them, they will tell you which doctors are taking new patients, and they can even schedule an appointment for you. So keep looking, and if you find a doctor and, you know, the fit just isn't right for you, keep looking until you find somebody that you're really comfortable with.
All of this is in Rena's book, Trust Your Doctor, But Not That Much, Be Your Own Best Healthcare Advocate. Rena's website is renaweiner.com. That's R-E-I-N-A-W-E-I-N-E-R.com. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly to Rena's website and get all of this information. You said two things, though, that are very important that you highlight in the book. Seek out and connect with nurses, and the pharmacist is part of your team. Is that often overlooked? We're concerned about the doctor. The nurse just sort of comes along in the package, and the pharmacist that's on the corner, so we just happen to stop by there. These are really two key components, aren't they, in our approach to healthcare?
Oh, absolutely. They're part of your team. You know, nowadays that expression is used in corporate settings, but it's also in a medical setting. So there are nurse practitioners, there are physician assistants, there are nurses who specialize within a certain health discipline, or the general nurses. There are lots of nurses who can be a great resource for you, as are pharmacists, because they have information that we think we know, but sometimes we don't. And
yes,
their input is invaluable to getting some very good health care.
If we get a nurse practitioner, talk to me about that, because actually some of my best visits to the doctor's office have been with nurse practitioners. And I don't know, maybe it's they have more time. I'm not quite sure, but we should not be intimidated or afraid of that, should we? Sort of welcome the opportunity.
We should not. We should not be concerned. They are skilled. They are educated. They all have master's degrees in addition to their nursing experience and education, and some have PhDs as well. And they normally do have, like you said, Rick, normally they do have somewhat more time. They have a whole body, what can I say, approach, I guess that's the right word,
yes,
so that they look at all of you and they create a treatment plan. So consider a nurse practitioner when you are offered the opportunity to go to one.
Once we have an appointment, the time is limited. No matter who we're seeing, the time is limited. And you talk about preparing to visit the doctor. Why is that so important, and how do we go about that so we really maximize the time that we're spending there?
Well, exactly what you said. You do maximize the time, and so that it is a very efficient time spent with your healthcare professional. So do make a list. Make a list of all your symptoms, what you have done to treat them. Are you better? Are you not? And really what you are willing to do in order to get better, whether you agree to surgery, whether you just want to have physical therapy, whatever it is that you feel that would work for you. And it is the best way to handle a visit. In addition, if you are seeing somebody new or a specialist, please make sure and bring what I call all your stuff. If you have CDs of your MRI, of your CAT scan, if you have blood work, whatever you have that will give your healthcare professional a better idea of really what's going on with you.
The book is Trust Your Doctor, But Not That Much, Be Your Own Best Healthcare Advocate by Rena Weiner, healthcare and patient advocacy coach. And one thing you emphasized in there is get over this the sense of intimidation that we have in the doctor's office. Talk about maybe treating him as you're an equal with him. You're there. You want to get questions, or her, and being able to ask those questions without being like, that's the doctor. I'm just going to sit back and listen to what they have to tell me. It's very important, isn't it, to have a conversation with the doctor.
That's exactly the right word, Rick, a conversation. This physician or nurse practitioner is someone you work with in concert. So the more prepared you are for a visit, the more research you've done, the more frequently you'll be able to have an informed discussion with them. But I do find, and no matter the age of the person, that people are somewhat intimidated in the presence of their physician. And it's really not necessary, because physicians are educators as well as healers. And so part of their job is to explain to us, you know, what is going on within our bodies and also what they suggest as the best way to move forward. But I can tell you, too, that people will often say to me, well, I'm worried that the doctor will get mad at me.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, no. They, if they are professional, they will hear what you have to say and suggest what they think is, like I said, the best way forward.
Well, that brings up second opinion. I can remember years ago doing a panel show with a group of family doctors, and I brought up second opinion, thinking they probably would encourage that for a patient to go get a second opinion if they were uncomfortable with the initial opinion that they were getting, diagnosis they were getting, and they all seem very defensive. Talk about getting a second opinion and how you go about doing that.
Well, I really don't think that they should be defensive.
That was my thought, yes.
Because if they're confident within their medical expertise, then they should certainly welcome that. I really haven't been to any doctors who I would consider defensive when I talk to them about a second opinion. And if that is the case, you do need to have a look around to see who else can
support you. It does make you want to reevaluate, doesn't it?
It does. It certainly does. But do move forward yourself and get a second opinion, even if you are not having surgery, if it's not major treatment, but you're just not feeling that it's right, whatever the treatment that is being proposed. So you can get one from the physician you are speaking with. You can get one like in the other ways that I mentioned. I got the wonderful, wonderful referral from a nurse in one type of practice who then offered the referral to another physician in a different specialty. So you can get it. You know, like I said, you might have to look around a little bit. And there are also like websites. You can go to a reliable website and they will help you, or, as I mentioned earlier, a foundation where they specialize. If you've got psoriasis, you have arthritis, whatever you have, they have lists of physicians who are involved in clinical trials or physicians who just not just, but simply have practices that specialize within the area that you are looking for. So they're out there, but don't be intimidated and don't hesitate to get a second opinion, because you really have to feel comfortable.
You mentioned something interesting, and that's the web, the internet. So many people rely on that. Should we rely on that? And, of course, I guess the key to that is what website we're looking at. How do we know when we look at a website what we're getting is really accurate information, especially if we're counting on that to get better health?
Well, first of all, don't go to somewhere like Yelp to make a decision whether this is the right treatment or the right physician for you, because that's somebody's opinion. Maybe they had to wait a long time. Maybe the doctor was having a bad day. That is really not comprehensive information for you. Where you want to go, if you would like to look on the net, is to go to reliable sites like Johns Hopkins, like WebMD, like Memorial Sloan Kettering, if that's a cancer diagnosis, Cleveland Clinic. Those are sites that will give you very professional and reliable information, so you can have a start, have a foundation, be able to have a more informed discussion. And those sites might lead you to another place or another site. You can look at them and learn more and more. But stay away also. Stay away from all the scary information that people will put on the internet, because that doesn't serve you at all. And that patient is not you. Everybody's unique, everybody's treatment is different, and everybody's path goes along a different route.
And you point that out in your book. The book is Trust Your Doctor, But Not That Much, Be Your Own Best Healthcare Advocate. Rena Winer is the author and our guest on the program. Her website is renaweiner.com, RenaWeiner.com. Books available wherever books are sold. And, of course, you can link on directly to Rena's website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Something that's very important is when you get a diagnosis, maybe you're not prepared for it. It is not what you were hoping for. You talk, in fact, the whole chapter, keeping your head together any way you can. Talk about the importance of that, because I would assume those first couple of hours after a diagnosis are really crucial to how you get through the process.
Well, they are. And, you know, you have to allow yourself some, oh, my goodness, I can't believe this is happening to
yes.
me. And you have to allow it, because it does set you back. And it's very frightening. And it's okay and realistic to be scared when some big change in your health is coming up. But when you take some deep breaths and you can step back and you can calm yourself down, whether it is you eat, like I said, a pint of Baskin Robbins,
yes.
or you know, have dinner with a friend and get the support that you need, then when you do feel more relaxed, that is when you can begin to do some research and learn more about what's coming up. But I can also say that however that information is presented to you is essential. And if it is presented in a way by your healthcare professional that is supportive, honest, but yet supportive, it takes some of the stress out of it, because you feel like, okay, this is not great, I got to do this, but I think I'm going to be able to get through it and be okay. So do whatever, relax, meditate, take a walk, whatever makes you feel good, a game of tennis, or just watch a little TV and take your mind off it for a little while. But then you do your research and be well prepared.
And aiding you in doing that is Rena's book, Trust Your Doctor, But Not That Much. She's been on both sides of the table as a patient and the advocate that we've talked about in the program. One of the chapters that's so important as well is financial aid. And just to address that here briefly, you find out, oh, wow, I am really sick. And then you're thinking, I'm really broke. How am I going to pay for this? Besides trying to heal and to deal with the emotion of finding out that you have an illness and this is serious, then you start worrying about the money, because this gets to be very expensive, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, it does. It costs a lot of money to be sick. It might sound a little odd to say that, but it's true. And with all the stress of the illness, then you have the financial worries. But I can tell you there is help. First of all, there are these charitable organizations who have funds that are provided, and I got one grant for $10,000. There are, of course, you have to apply,
yes,
and then you have to be eligible, but many people are, and you don't have to put down every dollar that you have invested, every great stock price that you decided you were going to buy and, you know, and had some profit on. They have very clear guidelines, and many people are eligible for some help. And I have been fortunate to get a grant and be approved. So if you go to the, put in your diagnosis into the website, any website, you know, Google or so forth, and see what comes up for you. And if it's the American Cancer Society or Psoriasis Foundation, anything. And they will then be able to guide you toward these organizations that have some funding. You can also ask if there are generic products that are available that are effective as the brand name. You can also, if you don't have Medicaid and if you don't have Medicare, so any government plans, you can get some coupons in the doctor's offices for some drugs, not chemotherapy, but a lot of prescription medications. So that's a possibility. And sometimes you can get some help from the pharmaceutical industry as well. So my big, big, big word is a really small word, but I use it in the book a million times. Ask. Just keep asking and keep looking for where you can get some help. And it is out there.
Some people talk about the role of clinical trials, of actually being part of that. How exactly does that work?
Well, it works based on your particular illness. And if you have been in a situation where you've tried multiple treatments and nothing is helping, then if you also go to these foundations and so forth, or you can go to clinicaltrials.gov, which is a huge site, but you will need to know your diagnosis, and then you do a search or you ask your physician or your nurse to help you do a search for a clinical trial. And there are many that are across the country. You don't have to live in a big city, and they are available if you qualify. And it's a little scary initially, because, you know, this has not been thoroughly tested, but if you qualify and you agree, you get wonderful care, you are very carefully monitored, everything is checked so that they can, the researchers can get the data in order to get a new treatment approved. So I've been on 4 clinical trials. I believe that they are incredibly helpful to patients because you get the opportunity to get, like I always call it, the latest and the greatest. No guarantees, you know, that it's going to be perfect,
right,
but it is an option. And in addition, what you're doing is you are really helping all the new patients who will be diagnosed after you to get the opportunity to have a new treatment that might work very well for them.
In your book, you talk about the final plan, and this is something so many of us think, boy, we really need to do that, yet we really haven't done that as yet. We're reluctant to jump in and do that. Talk about that. What does that consist of?
Well, it consists of advanced medical directives, a living will, and the medical power of attorney. And I can tell you that when you go in the hospital, you have to have your appendix out or something. They will ask you, do you have an advanced medical directive? And that tells the physician, if you are unable to communicate for one reason or another, what you would like to have done. The living will covers your property, any little kids, guardianship for your kids, medical power of attorney, that someone else can speak up for you. And those are great. And then there's also more. There's durable power of attorney. That's for business. There's, you know, people like to maybe set up funeral or, you know, assisted living situations.
Yes.
But what's really important is to set up the advanced medical directive, because when I wrote the book, a physician who does palliative care asked me to include that. Because what happens if either an emergency situation or somebody is very ill and they have not filled out any kind of advanced medical directive, then the family has to decide what this person would want. And if they can't decide, then it falls on the physician to make a decision that's really quite important for most people. So please take a little bit of time. You know, some things you can get online, some things you need to go to an attorney for, but it is time and money well spent.
And all of that is in Rena's book, Trust Your Doctor, But Not That Much. A couple minutes left in the program. You emphasized the three P's, and these are very easy things to remember and store in the back of your mind whenever you need to go back there and to refresh yourself. What are the three P's?
The three P's, Rick, are to be pleasant, to be patient, and be persistent. And those three P's you can use anywhere, not necessarily in medicine, but any situation where sometimes it's a little frustrating, a little difficult, taking far more time than you hope that it will. But if you continue to approach it and be polite to whomever you're speaking with and be patient, most often you can get what it is you need. So I utilize those and have those for years. And I thank my parents for reminding me to do those. Sometimes, you have to, like I said, think about it, take a step back, take a breath, because a lot of people are having a hard day, not only you. So keep that in mind. Be pleasant, be patient, and be persistent.
You know, I could have used that in dealing with the cable company a week ago. I hadn't read your book up to that point, so I need to store that for future reference. So about a minute left here, but persistent, that's one that people sometimes, okay, maybe I'll ask once or twice, and you're somewhat reluctant to really push it, but persistence is really a key to getting the information you need for your life, isn't it?
Oh, very much so, very much. Because like I said, when you speak with someone else who maybe they're busy, maybe they're not having their best day, and they don't get to whatever it is that you need that day, or then you call them again, and they're still overwhelmed with some issue that is going on, keep it up, because, you know, like they used to say, the squeaky wheel. And the squeaky wheel does eventually get some help.
Yes.
And gets people to where they need to be.
What kind of reaction are you getting from the book, Trust Your Doctor, But Not That Much? I mean, this is a very thorough look at the situation. It has to be positive response and, in some cases, life-altering response.
Well, it has been positive. Absolutely has been positive. And, you know, some people say, well, this is common sense. I already know this. And it's true. Much of it is common sense, but the important point is to then initiate all of this common sense, put it to use, and when you do, you will really find that it helps you in your healthcare journey, but also it helps you in a lot of other situations. Have the knowledge, be prepared, work in concert with people, and be patient, pleasant, and persistent.
You know,
it does work.
Well, yes, and it's interesting because it may be common sense, but when we're in a stressful situation or an intimidating situation, sometimes we need to be have our mind refreshed on what is common sense, because we're so caught up in the situation, we forget what is something that it's common sense that we should do. And you've got all of this in the book, an excellent book, Trust Your Doctor, But Not That Much, Be Your Own Best Healthcare Advocate. Rena Winer is the author, our guest on the program, healthcare and patient advocacy coach. Her website is renawiner.com, RenaWeiner.com. Book available, of course, wherever books are sold. And if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly to Rena's website. It's been a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. Excellent book. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you for inviting me, Rick. It's been my pleasure. Take good care.
You as well. And remember the three P's, not only for your medical advice, but dealing with the cable company or anybody else you happen to be dealing with. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.